So I've known Pastor Dave for a really long time. He put up with me for quite some time. So when you see him, just know he is a saint. So this morning, we're going to step into a moment in time in Scripture where Moses has just passed. And Joshua is now the leader of Israel. Joshua is taking on the mantle of leading Israel into the promised land. And at this point, Joshua's really scared. Like, he's gone through and he's seen God do amazing things. But Moses did, like, the hard work. He did the very difficult decision-making, advocating on behalf of his people. And so now Joshua, that's his role. And so we know that Joshua is, like, terrified. He is scared because in just the first chapter alone, God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. As I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And lastly, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So Joshua, at this point, he's nervous in his life. He's scared, but he's willing to trust. He's willing to choose to trust God and where he's leading them. God told Joshua, keep your eyes on me. Don't let these divine words be out of your mind. Know that every step you will go, that will be your land, right? Every place where you set your foot, that will be your place. Ponder and meditate on this day and night. He was constantly calling Joshua to set himself apart and to recognize and to remember and to recall all that God was telling him. So after aligning himself with God's purposes, Joshua musters up the strength to pretty much make his first decision. And so he sends spies out into the land to survey the territory, to make sure that, to kind of get a better look at what God had promised. And so the two spies, they find themselves in Jericho, and they are made out. And so they're running. And there's a manhunt going on that's happening. They're trying to get them. And Rahab saves them. And she is a sort of a creative hustler, if you will. And so she saves them. And they end up being able to go back to Joshua. And they say, listen, what God has prepared a place for us, this is ours. Everything that God has promised, we're going to have it. God, like, we can put our trust in God. See, this is significant because prior to this, Moses was leading the people. And the generation that Moses had, they were saved and taken out of Egypt. God sent Moses, they were taken out of Egypt, God parted the seas, they crossed it, and they landed in a space bordering the promised land. But when it came time to take the next step, Moses had sent out 12 spies. He had sent out 12 people to survey the land. And all but Caleb and Joshua came back with a message of hopelessness. They came back just saying, look, there are giants, the obstacles, the challenges, the battles, there's way too many. It's too much for me. It's too much for us as a people to handle. We know what God said, like that God has a purpose for us, but if the purpose is to go through this battle, I don't want to do it. I don't have to face these giants in our life. And that's what they had communicated. And so everyone at that point was really scared. And so much so that you can see the state of their inner world. You can see the state of the people of Israel. They said, if we had only died in Egypt or even in this desert, why would God bring us all the way to this point to die? So there was literally no hope. They had put their faith in fear rather than their faith in God. Their trust in God had dwindled despite seeing the miracles, despite being taken out of Egypt, which where they were enslaved for over 400 years. They're like, yeah, God did that. God parted the Red Sea, but this is too much for him. This is too much for him. This is too much for us. We're just not going to do this. And so they were in despair, in fear, and they were crippled by this. So what happens? Because of that, they wandered for 40 years. They wasted...
Could you say that again?
No, not talking to you, Siri. Oh. So they wandered for 40 years. And they wasted their life because of their fear crippled them so much that for 40 years they were paralyzed and they wandered for 40 years. See, what should have taken a moment took decades. Moses had passed, and so has his generation. And now this period that we're going to step into in Joshua 3, it's Joshua and the people of Israel. So this is not... Oh, too far. Okay, amazing things. All right, so we're going to start off in Joshua 3, verse 5. And it says, sorry. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Skip that. Okay. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it and went up ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the other ites that there are. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord of all the earth set foot in the Jordan and its waters, flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Consecration. In order to reach Jericho, the launch pad that would help them get into the promised land, the launch pad that would get them to the place that God had called their future, they had to, in this place to realize their dreams, they had to enter into new battles, new obstacles, new challenges. And what they had to do is they had to cross the Jordan River. And this Jordan River, they had to bring not only their military, they had to bring their families and their resources. And they were wandering for 40 years. I moved into my apartment 2 years ago with my wife, and I really wanted to be like super simple, like aesthetically pleasing, like very minimalistic, very minimal. The amount of trash I throw out, the amount of stuff I put into storage, the amount of stuff I give away to people, only to 2 months later, it's like the one thing I threw out is replaced by two or three things. Like, I don't get it. So at this point, they must have just carried so much stuff with them. And it just seemed like a lot of work. You know, in life, there's always a battle that's going on. There's always an obstacle that we're going to face tomorrow. From just in our lifetime, right? War, recession, a pandemic, you know, financial difficulties. And that's just the stuff that we all go through. That doesn't count for the personal things that we are struggling with our families, maybe our health, our relationships, work. We all have these battles that we experience. And sometimes some of us for longer than others, but we're constantly moving from one challenge to the next, conquering one obstacle and then on to the next one. But see, there's a process in this that's really important. There's a process that allows us to grow. Joshua tells his people to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. What is this word, consecrate? Well, lucky for you, I Googled it. And consecrate means to make holy, to purify, to cleanse, to set apart, right? So before entering the tabernacle, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was housed, which is where the Spirit of God would be, if a priest wanted to enter the tabernacle, they had to scrub and wash off the filth that was upon them before they could enter. If not, they would be struck down and died. They would defile the place. And so they had to scrub and wash off. They had to cleanse and purify. If they were going to bring utensils or furniture within the tabernacle, which there were, they had to do the same process. There was a ritual that allowed them to purify and cleanse to enter into this the presence of God. So this idea that Joshua is saying is that consecrate yourself, purify yourself, cleanse, set yourself apart for a purpose, because when you prepare yourself, God is going to do amazing things. There is this cleansing that has to happen before you move on to this next part. See, Joshua said, before you cross, you need to get your hearts right with God. So this cleansing aspect is about the inner world, our inner world, about the battle within the mind, the battle within our heart. We have to go through this process of taking inventory, being self-aware, right? And so he says, consecrate yourselves. Joshua knew if they were going to cross the river, if they were going to cross this next obstacle, if they were going to trust God in it, they needed to set themselves apart, because the people before them, the people who followed Moses, did not. They had the opportunity to trust God and to prepare themselves, but they allowed the world around them. They allowed the noise. They allowed what was happening to influence their inner world and not trust in God, not be influenced by the power, the sovereignty of God. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. Consecrating is cleaning the inner world and setting yourself up for a specific purpose. See, consecration is our job. It says it, like, consecrate yourselves. So consecrate yourselves is our job today. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. That's God's job. Tomorrow's problems, tomorrow's challenges, tomorrow, whatever is going to happen, that is God's responsibility. Your responsibility, your action, is to take care of your soul, to take care of your mind. What are the things that are occurring, that are happening in this space? Because if we know anything, is that the power to choose is important. The power to choose is how we worship God. And so consecration is our responsibility. See, the Israelites, when Joshua had said, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow God's going to do his job, they had their time to sift through their soul, to peace. It's just kind of like, where is my life right now? Where is my trust? What am I putting my heart into? The generation that walked with Moses through the Red Sea, they didn't get to see the Promised Land because they didn't trust God enough to prepare themselves for what was going to happen. They wanted the promise without the work. They wanted the purpose that God had for them, the future that God had for them, but they weren't willing to put the work into the process. See, this process of consecrating yourself, it's being not conforming and being, it's not conforming to the patterns of this world. It is putting our trust and being proactive in how we spend our time. It's like the week of Christmas, and I ended up having a hypertension crisis. And the reason for it was, for quite some time, there was so much I wanted to do. There were so many things I was doing. And so I was barely sleeping. I'd go to bed at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I'd wake up at 3:45. I wanted to fit so much life into my day. And I was also really stressing about finances. I was stressing about the things I wanted to do for God. And it was all about what I was doing and my power and ultimately just trusting in myself and not really trusting in God. And so that was really scary because I remember parking. I was going to go visit my brothers and I stood up from the car. I got out of the car and all of a sudden it just felt like life wasn't real. Like I felt like I was in a simulation for a moment. I almost fell and got to the hospital and they were like, your levels are extremely high. And I was there overnight. But when I came out, I realized I had to make some changes. I had to set myself apart in that moment and the time afterwards and take inventory, right? I had to see where's my heart? Where's my mind going? And I had to reflect and realize who I was trusting in or who I was not trusting in. And I had to make steps. I had to put work into the process to get healthier, to get better. We oftentimes detox for our bodies, right? We juice, we cleanse, we eat certain things to make sure that we flush what's filthy, what's bad, what's not good in our system out. Sometimes, like we were just talking, we actually just talked about we stay away from Facebook sometimes. We stay away from Instagram because it wastes our time. It fills us with messages and ideas and things that are just not realistic, expectations about ourselves, how we should look, what we should have. Right now, I'm 32. Apparently, I should be almost close to retiring with like a Tesla and a Mercedes and a Ferrari and have like four businesses. That's the expectation on me right now. I'm nowhere near that. I'm nowhere near that. But there's so many things vying for our attention. So many things that are telling us what we should be, what we should do, and that has direct influence in our hearts, in our world. And it's amazing because scripture often talks about just having this mind of Christ and this idea that we could have joy despite the circumstances, right? Happiness is just being content in your circumstances. Joy transcends circumstances. And so in life and in scripture, and this is why it's so amazing because I feel like science is really just starting to catch up to like a lot of what scripture has been saying, but how we perceive the world is through what has been established in our inner world. And so if we are connected with God, it doesn't matter what's going around us. Things can be going crazy, but we still have the peace because we know who holds the future. And so despite all of that happening, we can still find peace. We can still experience love. We can still experience all the good things in life despite what's happening. And so it's important to realize that our inner world really, truly does filter how we experience the world, right? Because our inner world is where everything gets fed through, and that ultimately it's like what's in our heart comes out. And so this idea of consecration is so important. We went back, my bad. Oh no, I went ahead. Okay, so we're going to go to the next part. After they consecrated themselves and they followed the ark, it says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. See, when Joshua told the people to follow the Ark of the Covenant, he told them to give it some space. He said, give it some space so that you know where to go. Because where we're going, you've never been. Where we're going, it's the unknown, but we're going to let God go ahead before us. And when the Ark of the Covenant reached the waters, the most amazing thing happened. The river stopped. Now, I Googled the Jordan River at flood stage. And there are a ton of videos of it being extremely powerful. And it's not like this dainty river. It's a raging river. Like, it is actually pretty scary. And a few years ago, it killed like a dozen people when the water was at flood stage. And so it is just a very strong, intimidating, overwhelming river. And in the history, the story of Israel, we get these two distinct alternatives, right? These two different distinct ways of trusting God. The people of Israel saw the giants in Jericho. They saw the river, and they were completely overtaken by fear and overwhelmed because their trust was not in God. It was elsewhere. Then we have the people with Joshua, and they experienced everything. They saw what happened with their family, and they are here with Joshua, and they put their trust in God. And at this point, they're able to cross the river because of what they chose, choosing to trust in God, choosing to set themselves apart. And it, despite this river being extremely intimidating, they chose to step forward. They chose to step into the moment and trust in God, despite how difficult it looked, how difficult and how scary it was. See, consecration comes from a place of action, a place of choosing. Choosing to trust, believe, and hope. Several years ago, my wife, she had this desire to become a speech pathologist. She was extremely passionate about people who experienced dysphagia. And she wanted to be the very best speech pathologist she could so that she could help people to swallow, to eat, to exist. And I think we take swallowing for granted and eating and drinking, but if you've ever had that issue, it is very scary. You have very little to no control of your vocal folds and just the muscles around this space. And so she just felt very drawn to it. And so she decided to commit an extended period of time and devoting so that she could understand everything she possibly could about it. And so she jumped into a 2-year program, an intense accelerated program. And she, during this time, she surrendered her life. In the context of, she sacrificed her time with her loved ones due to this program. She gave up on her social life. She wanted to become a specialist and really understand this so well so that she could help the people that she cared for. And in this, she literally had to set herself apart. She had to remove herself intentionally and put herself in a place where she could learn how to navigate this particular area. And I think this is a really close way of us understanding. Like, consecration is not formulaic. There isn't like, you don't do like these 5 steps and then you've consecrated yourselves. It's going to be very different for each person in different times of their life. In each battle, each obstacle, each challenge is going to call for a different form of consecration, a different form of preparing and purifying yourself, a different form of setting yourself apart. But what it does consist of is sacrificing and removing yourself from things that are not good for you. Things that have a direct influence within your soul. And I think that just moving away, I think within our life, like this last several years has not been easy for us. Like, we're fine, we're getting out of it, but still, like, we see the impacts in our life daily. We see it at work, we see it in the world, we see it in our families. I know families are, like, broken up just be due to all sorts of things. And it's not easy. It's hard. It brings up all sorts of emotions, all sorts of thoughts. But we are called to rise above it and not to play the basic level of, like, life. Like, we're called to think with the mind of Christ. And that takes consecrating ourselves. That takes separating ourselves from the noise and from the influence. Even people that we believe are really benefiting our lives. Like, truly, we need to come to God and to Scripture and to reclaim the humanity and the purposes that God has for us. Like, not only just as a people, but who God has called us to be individually. And it's super important for us just to know that consecration is really intentional. And I know I've said it so many times, but it's truly our responsibility. And I think as a whole, we often just point fingers. Like Adam and Eve, like the very first people, the first thing was like, I didn't do it, she did it. I did it because she told me to do it. Like from the very first, from the very beginning, the very first humans in the entire universe, they abdicated their responsibility. We're called to own our mistakes. We're called to own our life. And sometimes we just allow life to happen, allow life to just pass us by. And we don't own it in the way God calls us to. And to own it is to own who we are and what we allow in our soul, in our inner world. Consecration is our responsibility. And if we want to have life and move life in the fullness of what he has come, what Jesus came to give us, right? We have to devote ourselves exclusively to him. We need to create a sacred space in our lives that allows us to see and to see him, to hear him. Creating the sacred space in our lives isn't formulaic, but it is about realigning and aligning our lives. We all want to see God do amazing things, but we aren't willing to put in the work to the process, right? We aren't willing to practically respond. But I do want to ask, what are the rivers in your life? What are the things that you're going, that you're facing or that you're about to face, that you know you're about to experience, that causes apprehension, causes fear, that makes you want to run to your old battles? Because the unknown, the future, is a little too scary. So you're like, I kind of want to play it safe. This here is easier. That over there is gonna ask too much of me. I don't want to step into that space because I'm going to have to set myself up apart a little bit more. I have to work on myself a little bit more. You know, into my, maybe my marriage, into my relationship, into my heart, into what I have to prepare. I don't want to put that much work. We abdicate the responsibility. So what are those things that we're so afraid to step into? The generation that didn't get to see the promised land didn't consecrate themselves because they didn't trust God. They experienced his power. They experienced the amazing things, but they wanted to run away because they couldn't, they didn't want more battles. But what's beautiful about this is that when the Ark of the Covenant, the Spirit of God, touched the water, it stayed in the middle of the river. It held back that crazy raging force that allowed the people to cross. See, God is always before us. We can trust where we step because God has stepped there before. God is before us in every moment. And although we've never been to the unknown, although we haven't been to the future quite yet, we haven't traveled to the future, God has been there, and he is waiting for us because we aren't alone in this process. And every step that we take, he's already taken. He's been there, done that. God has never promised us to take away our battles. He's never promised to to make sure to wipe it out once we became like followers, once we put our trust in Jesus. He never promised that. But what he did promise is that he said, I assure you, I will be with you in those moments. When it is difficult, I'm there. When you can't do it, I'm there. Jesus has already parted the waters and is waiting for us to walk across. So the question is, will you choose to trust God? Will you choose to trust that God is going to do amazing things among you tomorrow? And for you to take the responsibility it is to set yourself apart, to set your inner world apart and create a space that allows you to hear from God, allows you to connect. I want to pray for us as we think about this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you have a purpose for us, that you've dreamed dreams for us. You have a purpose for us, for our lives. And ultimately, like, you want us to grow. You want us to grow into the people, to experience life in such a way that we feel full, that we could become fully alive. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. But we also thank you that in the process, Lord, in the battles and the rivers and the obstacles and challenges that you have before us, that we're not alone, that even when it feels really dark, even when it's scary or there's giants or there's this river that can literally wash us up, Lord, that we know that you're there. We're so grateful for you. And we, Lord, we just pray that you would give us and you would give us the opportunity to choose you, to choose to trust you. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.